on down front here, that song, "Let the Glory of the Lord Rise Among Us," has been the theme of my life for about a month. And it's just been a conscious, this morning coming in here early, Sunday mornings, getting on my scooter and riding in, just singing to the Lord as the sun is coming up, and just enjoying that. It is a choice that we make in order to allow God's glory to rise up within our lives. And it's a very practical thing. Now, as a shepherd, my responsibility before God, as a man called to shepherd a flock, is to make sure that periodically you're moving from place to place for the fresh green grass of the Word of God and for the restoring, refreshing waters that come from the Holy Spirit. Our job is to not allow the flock to dwell too long in one place, because if you allow a flock of sheep to dwell too long in one place, eventually they're going to be stepping in a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? It's called sheep stuff. And so what happens is it's time every now and then to just move on to a new place. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take people forward. We're to move them higher up into the alpine, refreshing air of the freshness of God. And as they grow, as they keep moving, they begin to grow and increasingly enjoy new things with God. Now, if I could have my title, well, this is as far as we got last week with the title. That's it. At that point, the Lord took over, and we went in a wholly different direction for the day. But I am convinced that when those things happen, two things are happening. One, God knows what He needs to say to His people on a given day. And God also knows when the appropriate time for a specific word to come forward is. And so I'm sensing today is the day for this. Boundaries of greater blessing. We got to the point where we just said that boundaries can be a very good thing. You need to learn how to set appropriate boundaries. If you don't set boundaries in your life, there can come violations. Grant was just talking about a boundary that needed to be set in his life, limiting the amount of work that he was doing. The Bible teaches us over and over that God is a God that wants us to exercise moderation in all things. That includes even good fun things. It includes our eating, it includes our exercise, it includes our recreation, it includes work. God wants us to be healthy and whole and moderate in all that we do. And in that way, we are not excessive. So boundaries can be a very good thing. But today I want to focus on when boundaries that we set in our lives become a hindrance to those higher meadows of maturity that God wants to get us to. That we set these boundaries either by omission, not doing something, or commission, intentionally doing something to set a boundary. Let me give you a couple of them, and then we'll go and we're going to focus on one in particular. There are a lot of people in the body of Christ who have set a boundary on getting familiar with God's Word. And because of that, they sort of rely on other people to speak to them about God's Word, or to give them counsel, or to preach to them, or maybe listen to them on the radio, whatever it might be. But they sort of, on a personal level, have set a boundary in their lives where they're just only going to go so far in the study and the reading of God's Word. And that boundary will hinder greater blessing that God has for you in your life and in His plan for you. If you don't know the Word of God, you won't be able to know the promises that you can appropriate. There are many people in the body of Christ that just do not know that healing is part of the atonement. That Jesus shed blood intentionally so that we can be healed. And because either they're the ones that teach omit that or don't believe that, they're missing out on something. There are many people in the body of Christ. These are good people that love Jesus and will someday will be celebrating together in praise and worship. But they have been taught that the present day ministry of the Holy Ghost passed away after the apostles all passed away. It's a form of cessation theology, where it was just for those days. And we can't really rely on those same things. But I read my Bible this one day, and it said, God, I am God, and I change not. And then it also said, in a completely different place, that I'm the same today, and yesterday, and tomorrow. And I think I read in Joel the prophet, where he said that these promises are for those that are as far off. Okay, it wasn't just for them. It's also for those that are afar off. And I can tell you from knowing some of you are far off. You know what I mean. You're far down the road from that prophecy. And this is available. It's there for us. So when we come together and we have a time like we did last week and this week and many times around here where we join our faith together and lay hands on somebody and pray for them, it's a promise of God. It's just one of many. And so in order for you to know all that you're in line for, what your inheritance is, you've got to know the Word of God. You've got to have it so in you that it rises up when the moments that it needs to rise up are upon you. One of the very works of Jesus through Holy Spirit in our lives is to remind us of what Jesus taught. Holy Spirit is to remind us of what Jesus taught. And He reminds us in those moments that we need what Jesus taught. And so it can be a boundary if you're not getting familiar with the Word of God. There are people in all our lives that when stressful circumstances come, their natural inclination is to get sort of very highly agitated or emotional or fleshy in nature. That's their knee-jerk reaction. Oh, there it goes again. They'll have a mindset that if it's going to go bad, it'll go bad for me. You know, that's their theology, but that's also their flesh. But we just sang it this morning. God is good. Good. And He's never going to let us down. That's what the Word says. That's what the Word of God teaches. So fleshy indulgences, when we're ruled by feelings and emotions, instead of what the Word of God says to us, then what we are doing is we're setting a boundary to greater blessing. We need to realize that in the most emotional moments in our lives, we can be stable and sure and rock solid because of Him and what He's done in us. The Bible says you won't be like little children anymore, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine or changing environment that may be going on around you. And another boundary that we can set is a powerful revelation. Until you come to the place where it is revealed to your inner being, man or woman or child, that God so loved the world, God so loved you personally, that He gave His own Son. That His love is inexhaustible. That His love is not able to be merited. It was granted to us by the grace of God and the finished work of Jesus. I spent 2 hours this week down at Messiah College with Jim Schultz, the guy from the Joseph Project. He just so happened to be speaking at a Messianic conference down there, and Keith told me about it, and then I started trying to put some connections together, and I went and I met this man. And this man's testimony, and I hope someday, maybe next year at the conference time, he could come and be a part of our service. And I would like to give him the time to give his testimony, because his testimony was how he became aware of the overwhelming love of God for him. And how he describes it is so vivid. And so, I mean, you're right in it with him, that it's contagious. I sat there. I had one, I told him, I got an hour. And 2 hours later, we're still regretting the fact that we have to leave each other and go somewhere else, because it just was a joy fest. You know what I'm saying? It was just a joy fest. And so not receiving God's love means you will set your expectations of God low, way too low. You'll set them at crumbs when He wants you to have the whole cake. You'll set them at just the dribblings that fall off to the servants when He has a robe for you. And He has a ring to put on your finger. And you're His son or daughter. And you are a delight. So learn to experience that. If you don't, you're going to set your boundaries to limit you. Fearing men more than God. Fearing the opinions of men and what they may say more than what God's Word says. That will turn you into a people pleaser. And I heard this thing, Ron sent me yesterday. I was at another location, and I was in the middle of a show, and I get this thing on my phone, and it's about an article that was just written. And he said, "Oh, I just read this. You need to read it, and it'll rock your world." And I did. And it's a guy that's out in California, and he wrote this article about the difference between being peacemakers and peacekeepers. Jesus said we're to be peacemakers, not peacekeepers. If you're a peacekeeper, you're always going to try to run around getting in the middle of stuff, trying to make it all better. And you'll compromise. You don't want anybody to get upset with you, so you avoid truth just to make everybody happy, just to get by, just to pacify. You become a man pleaser, and you cannot be a man pleaser and a God pleaser simultaneously. It is important that God says that He permits no other gods before Him. And sometimes we have people in our lives that we set up as demigods or small gods in our life. And our goal is to make them happy with us. Make them accept us. And God sees that as an idol. A false worship. We can do it in marriage where we make our spouse that very person. And it gets between our capacity to flourish and move into greater blessing with God. So let's talk a little bit about this. The boundaries of greater blessing from the standpoint of... Now, I don't want to get fleshy here, and I don't want to appeal to greed or selfishness, or I don't want to sow into you any form of a materialistic mindset, because, you know, when you talk about material things, it can be, you know, about what you possess. And that's different from what God would want to do to bless. Because God's reason for blessing you and me, financially or any other way, is so that we have such an abundance that we can be a blessing to someone else. You understand? God does not want us to consume everything on ourselves. My dad jokingly would say to me, "Dave, don't worry about fighting over your inheritance. There won't be one." He said, we're just going to consume it on ourselves, okay? We're going to consume it on ourselves so that your kids don't fight over it.
Well, thank you, Dad.
I think there's scripture that says that's not the right attitude. So, and we'll get to that in a moment. This thing keeps getting in my way. And so, as a result of it, I don't want to appeal to that, but yet I do want to talk to you on the level of, is there lack in your life in the way of maybe finances? Are you experiencing a life that's just on the ragged edge of having more month than there's money? You know, I can remember days like that, can't you? I remember when we were rubbing everything together and hoping it would get happy and multiply, and it just didn't work that way. We would pinch a penny, but it just stayed as a penny. But then as time went on, God began to reveal that in this area of being provided for, and particularly I'm focusing in the area of finances, that he had something to say about it. And we've had this church for 21 years, and I can't remember any other time that I've been as specific as I'm going to be today. And the reason is we just never had to. We had men coming up here on Sunday morning and sharing from the principles of the kingdom of God. So the Pastor Dave didn't need to do it. And it sowed generosity into the heart of this congregation to the point that we have lacked nothing. Okay? We have lacked nothing in that. But that's not what the message is about. You can, because of fearfulness or anxiety about finances, you can set a boundary in your life that hinders the blessing that God has for you. And I want to talk to you in such a way that maybe you will entertain practically doing something or beginning something today that will be an opportunity for God to prove himself strong on your behalf. And so, let me ask the question. How many here, when it comes to finances, could use more? Could use some more. Okay? Now, that's no, you know, that's not a crime. That's a statement of reality. Now, once again, I'm not appealing to the, you know, let's figure out how we can get more. I want to teach you about how obedience to God will tear down a barrier to not just more, but abundance. What God intends for every one of us as brothers and sisters. An abundance with a purpose. Abundance that allows us to be a source of supply to others through our generosity and our giving. And I want to look at a couple scriptures and some principles here this morning that will help expose you to that. Now, I'm not talking, once again, this is the last time I'm going to say it, and then we're going to launch. I'm not talking about the mindset that says, bless me and mine, that's fine, us four, no more. You get that? You know, where we're just focused on our little family, our little group? No, that's not what I'm looking here. And I want to go higher than that. I want to go into the purposes of the kingdom and look at what it says and be able to rest assured in something from the get-go. This is a promise that comes from the scripture from the Apostle Paul, and it says, this same God, the same one you and I worship, who takes care of me, Paul said, will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. That is the foundational belief that we should have inside to begin the process of unlocking the door and the barrier to get to the other side. And so today I want to talk a bit about enlarging our boundaries of thinking. Enlarging the boundaries of our thinking. I went to school in the 60s, and actually I actually went to school starting in the 50s. My, is he old. And so, but I can remember when I was in junior high school here in Carlisle at the Lamberton Junior High School, it was the time when the Russians had launched Sputnik. How many of you are old enough to remember even the name Sputnik? Okay. They're naming dogs Sputnik now. Okay, but it was the first of the Russian satellites that went up, and they were ahead of us. And as a result of it, it was a scientific achievement that everybody was excited about. Nobody had ever done such a thing. And I remember one of my teachers said to all of us in the class in science that tonight I want you to go out. It's going to be a beautiful starry night. I want you to go out and I want you to look. And she gave us a certain sense of direction so that we could look. And look for a faint light moving very slowly through the stars. And so the next day, and I did it. I remember on Wilson Street, I went out and I looked. It took me a while, but I finally saw Sputnik. Man, it was an exciting moment. Now our phones are run by Sputniks. Our lives are run by Sputniks, if you think about the technology. And we came back to class the next day all excited and ready to talk about it. And she said, how many of you were able to see Sputnik last night? And everybody's hand went up except for Johnny. You know Johnny. Every class has a Johnny. That wasn't his name. But Johnny's hand didn't go up because Johnny's hand never goes up. How many of you did your homework? Everybody but Johnny. How many of you are excited to be here today? Everybody but Johnny. And so the teacher said, well, Johnny, didn't you go out in your backyard? He said, yes, I did. I went out. Did you look? Yes, I looked. Well, how come you didn't see Sputnik? He said, well, teacher, I have a very small backyard. I want you to think about the mindset that's attached to that. I have a very small backyard. If you have a very small backyard mindset, you're not going to see what God has for you in the cosmos. If you have a small backyard mindset, you're not going to see and believe for the promises that He has for you. And so we want to enlarge our backyard, if you will. Enlarge our capacity to see what God has for us. In Isaiah chapter 54, there's a prophetic scripture speaking to the not only Israel, but us as believers attached to Israel, graciously grafted into them when the ministry was relieved to the Gentiles. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. This is a mindset adjustment. And let the curtains of your habitation, you know they lived in big tents, let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Spare not. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right hand and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. This is a prophecy that's speaking to them, that is declaring prophetically that if they will unlock a mindset of increase. These people started with a man and a woman who could not have children. And yet God promised them more children than the stars in the sky. Sarah laughed because she thought it was an impossibility. But the Word of God says nothing. No thing is impossible with God. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care how good it's going or not. Nothing is impossible with God. It may be impossible with me, may be impossible with you, but it's not impossible with God. And so our backyard vision can be a hindrance or it can be an asset. And if we can get this, that even though we got nothing now, because they didn't have a child, even though we got nothing now, the prophecy, if I'll believe God, or if I even know it, says there's going to be so many that not just my generation, but the next couple generations of my family are going to absolutely bring life. I want my seed and my seed's seed to continue the blessing of God on this family, on this house, on this church, on your families, so that they are even better and further down in the level of understanding and maturity than you or I. Amen? Any good man or woman wants it better for their children than for themselves. And so, but you gotta root these things out. So, ask this question of yourself. What boundaries of my life does Father God want to enlarge? Could you identify somewhere in your life, some boundary that you staked it in the ground? It's one of those things that you said, that'll never happen. For those of you that have ever said such a thing as that'll never happen, I want you to know that when you say something like that on a Sunday, God has a special meeting in heaven on Monday for people that said never. Because there is no never with God. You see? And he said, well, who said it yesterday? Okay, angels, you go to work. You go out there and turn that never heart around. You go out there and begin to cause them to see even more than they could ever see before. So what boundaries does God see in my life that He wants to enlarge? And I don't want you to think about that and feel guilty. I want it to spur you on to a vision of a bigger backyard, a greater expanse of God's goodness to you. And ask yourself even, better yet, where does God want me to be a couple years from now? Set a number of 2 or 5 or whatever you would. Let's look at a couple things that God has expressed in the Word that He is ready to accomplish. God is ready to bring fruitfulness where there is barrenness. We have many stories in the Scripture about such a thing. We have practical demonstrations of it within this congregation of people who were barren that could not reproduce, and God's favor came and allowed that to happen in their lives. And so the Scripture says, again, we're in Isaiah in chapter 1, it says, sing, O childless woman. Now, the natural emotional thing to do when you're a childless woman is to lament your childlessness. But God says, you start singing. Start singing, you who have never given birth. Break into a loud, joyful song. Before I'm pregnant, Lord? Yes! This is a principle. If you want to see Sputnik, you got to believe that it's coming over your yard. And so begin to sing it out. Break into a joyful song, Jerusalem. You who have never been in labor, for the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. That's what God wants us to begin to do. As I told you, it applies to anything, not just childbearing. It can apply to a desire in your heart to be a source of supply to launch or support a ministry somewhere. But you don't have those funds, but you do have that desire. And as you place that before God, is it not God's desire to increase the kingdom of God? So if we place our heart's desire, Psalms 37 is, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes they're your own personal desires, and sometimes they're His desires that He puts in your heart along with yours. And so we want to be open to Him as He does this. God is ready to bring fruitfulness where there has been barrenness. I'm sorry, keep sliding off my ear. I must have a small ear on this side. Yeah, okay. Bring my bigger ear next week, yeah. God has a desire to bring restoration where there's been devastation, let's say brokenness. This grieves my heart because in our society today, we have been fed so many diagnoses of brokenness, okay? Where you're in school and you're just having a difficult time in a class, and the next thing you know, you have a diagnosis. and you have a prescription. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe that there are people that have conditions. And I also believe, having a medical background for a number of years myself, that there are ways that medical science can help some of that. But what I really believe beyond that is it has become so easy to prescribe instead of setting people free or causing them to grow in self-discipline or in whatever they need to do in order to get to a better place. We just medicate them. And as a result of it, they become dependent on the medication. As a result of that, the boundary is set and they'll never get free from it until they get free from the medication, whatever it is. And so it is a boundary in this case that we have accepted because we know there's something, we think there's something wrong, and somebody told us what it is, and so that we just no longer believe we're getting better. It's who I am. It's the way I was made. And we stop believing for a better circumstance in our life or in our family. But if we will partner with God, there are no limitations. Have you ever entertained the thought, you know, I can believe that for you, Pastor. I can believe that for you, my neighbor, who's a good Christian woman. I can believe that for the person that works in the cubicle next to me because they're clearly a much better person than I am. Have you ever entertained a thought like that? Well, let me tell you what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that He doesn't have favorites, that He doesn't pick and choose. Now, He looks at us, and we have a tendency to say, because of what we see, oh, they're a favorite child. Well, God loves them more than He loves me. And that's an assault on the very character and nature of God. When He sent His Son to die for all, for whosoever will, for any who would come and say, save me. Now this God, who looks into our life that we've set places that are devastated and broken, not that it isn't real, He looks and He sees resurrection. He sees life potential. And so we have to stop limiting ourselves by the world's opinion of who we are. We have to open up to the opinion of God through His Word. For you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle ruined cities, territory that is dead and salted. And God says that the life of the kingdom will come into places like that, and it will bring back resurrected life. It'll renew the life, and dead bones will be given life again. Here's another wish of God. God's wish to demolish barricades of past shame and open the way to future joy and confidence. I would say that there's probably not a person in here that if they took a few moments that they couldn't identify some things that are in their past that maybe they wish it was different. That maybe they attach a certain amount of shame to it. But God's Word says that what He wants to do is demolish that because it blocks us from opening up completely to who He is. It limits us on receiving the joy and the confidence that He has for our future. You see, in a couple of verses here, fear not, you will no longer live in shame. Don't be afraid. There is no more disgrace for you. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth and the sorrows of your widowhood, for your Creator will be your husband. That's what God wants us to catch hold of. He wants to be intimate so much with us that even our shame has no place in us. The Lord of Heaven's armies is His name, and He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth. And for the Lord has called you back from your grief as though you were a young wife abandoned by her husband, says your God. God wants to call us out of a barrenness into a place of abundance and fruitfulness that is far beyond our capacity to believe. You cannot be a victim mindset and a victorious Christian at the same time. You can't live in a victim mentality and walk in victory in Christ at the same time. They are in direct opposition to one another. The fourth one is God's commitment. I love this one. To establish new footings for building a future of effective living and fear-free pursuit. What that means is a footing is an old term for a foundation. It's what has to be solid in order for a building to be constructed. And God says that He is willing, even though maybe we're built a bit on sand instead of solid rock. Maybe we do have some things in our family history and in who we are, maybe even personally, that are a little bit shady and shaky. But God's commitment is to establish a whole new foundation in our life so that we can build a new future of effective living and fear-free pursuit. Do you understand? Fear is one of the most powerful oppositions to your future that can be. And there are so many types of fear. And so let's read the scripture associated with that. Just as I swore in the time of Noah that I would never again let a flood cover the earth, so I now swear that I will never again be angry and punish you. I wonder how many are here today that when something goes wrong, their first thought is, what did I do? What did I do? I saw just about four or five different facial reactions out there that we think to ourselves when we do something wrong. And folks, as a believer, the scripture says, Paul confirms, that we're going to wrestle and buffet this body, our appetites, this earth suit, flesh, all the days of our life. Our spirit, our eternal spirit, is already redeemed. It is already His. It cannot be taken out of His hand. We are eternally secure, but in this temporary life, we still got to do battle with these appetites and stuff like that. You know, he's talking about putting out clothes out here. Well, I put some out there last night because they shrank. Okay? I don't know what's going on. These clothes, I got them in the closet. They don't fit me anymore. They're getting smaller. When you don't wear something for a while, does it automatically shrink? No, it's attached to an appetite. You know what I'm saying? It's attached to a lack of discipline that I have at times. It's attached to her cooking. It's attached. Okay? Folks, listen to me. It's attached to me. All right? I can play around, but it's attached to me. When the bottom line becomes the bottom line and you look in the mirror and look for an answer, you're the one that's looking back. Most times, it's attached to me. And so, He wants to establish new footings in my life. He wants to increase. And it's not about punishment. It's not about standing with the club if you make a mistake. You just remember a couple weeks ago when you do it, you repent and you thank God for forgiving you and you go over and push the delete button. You may not forget it, but He promises He will. That's what the Word of God says. For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing. Get that in your mind. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. I will teach all your children, and they will enjoy great peace. You will be secure under a government that is just and fair. Your enemies will stay far away. You will live in peace, and terror will not come near you. And if any nation comes to fight you, it is not because I sent them. How many times do you think when something comes, I wonder if God sent that? I wonder if God's just judging me. He says, it is not because I sent them. You have a real enemy. You have a real enemy of your life and your progress who is always using emissaries and sending them your way. He will do what he can to make you think that, one, you did something wrong and then blame it on God. Whoever attacks will go down in defeat. And here's this coming right here is one of my favorite verses. But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord, and their vindication will come from me, meaning him. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is a part of your great, wonderful relationship with God. When you are innocent and walking with a pure heart before him, that he is your protector. He is your vindicator. You do not have to fight the battle yourself. The best thing to do is to trust him. And he will make sure that those weapons that are turned against you will not succeed. And so I want you to realize that we're in a transitional period in the history of the world. I believe we're in the last days, and there's prophecy that comes from the Old Testament in a number of places. But it says that good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren. And listen, but the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. It is prophesied in the last days that there will be a tremendous transfer of wealth here on this earth, where the riches of the unrighteous will be transferred into the accounts of the righteous. And we're not just talking individual bank accounts. We're talking about a move of God. And part of it will be demonstrating the favor of God. But if you are not looking to be a part of that when God does it, then you might never see the covenant of blessing in your own life. If you think that you are not worthy, if you don't have God's love enough, if somehow you've got mistakes in your past that limit you, if you have all of that going on in your mindset, then essentially you're not expecting good things to happen in your life. I told you a couple years ago about a young man and his wife-to-be that came in to have counseling. And they wanted to get married, and so I was doing premarital counseling. And this guy was like there, but somewhere else, all at the same time. She was fully engaged. She really wanted to learn what I was teaching about their relationship. But he was there, but not there. And so finally I felt a prompting from the Holy Spirit, and I said, "Where are you?" And he looked at me and said, "What do you mean? I'm right here." I said, "No, you're not." I said, "Where are you? What are you thinking about?" And he went on to tell me that for 3 or 4 generations, the men in his family have died before they were 50. And he basically described his father's passing, and he talked about his grandfather, and some of the stuff was really kooky. I mean, some very unusual things happened right at 49. And finally, I said, "Well, how old are you?" And he said, "I'm 36. And I said, now, this came right from Holy Spirit. Listen, I'm going to tell you, none of us are smart enough to speak the wisdom of God on our own. All right? None of us. Now, handling the Word of God is speaking the wisdom of God. But none of us are smart enough on our own to rightly apply it when it takes place. And it's best for you to understand when you have a moment of success. Thank God. Thank God. And so this day, it just came out of me. I said, I cannot marry you. I can't even continue with the counseling. And he looked at me bewildered. I said, this woman is wants to marry you for life, and you're expecting to abandon her. That's what he was expecting. You're expecting to die at 49 after you've had a couple kids, and they'll be fatherless. Because that's where we found out, we went back generations to a neighbor lady who spoke a curse over their family. And he knew about it, but didn't know what to do with it. And so he had generationally, like everybody else, said, well, I guess it's going to be. And he was sitting there expecting to die young. And I said, I'm not going to marry you to this girl if you're expecting to abandon her in a short period of time. Well, 13 years. Okay, that's a short period of time. I said, but if you'll consider that that curse can be broken off of you, and I give them some teaching on curses, and are willing to submit to being prayed for and have it broken off of you, then we can move on. And he said, okay. And we stopped right there, and we prayed. And we believed God for what he wanted to do, for a better day, by breaking off this boundary in this guy's life. I don't know what boundaries you have in your lives, but I'm sure that you, like every one of us, have certain things that we think are limiting factors. But God wants to enlarge you. God wants to expand you. God wants to cause you to have a greater influence and a greater capacity to be a blessing to the world around you than you could ever imagine. Let me close with a challenge to you. Now, one of the reasons I told you in the very beginning that I'm so grateful that I haven't had to speak on giving and finances is because when the pastor does it, and he's a salaried employee of the church, the human mind, flesh, automatically goes, oh yeah, there he goes again. I guess he's trying to get the budget up for another raise. And that's what happens in human thinking. It just does. I want to do my best to remove that from you and yet give you a challenge that is easy for you to step into if you will obey, that will allow you to see God's activity on your behalf tangibly and fairly quickly. And here's where it comes from. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 16, here is a lesson. Use your worldly resources. That's money. In those days, they used animals and grain to barter. Whatever it might be. In our society, it's money. Use your worldly assets or resources to benefit others, to be generous, to make friends, to help people. Then when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. In other words, when you sow bountifully, God's saying that not only will he take care of you, but ultimately when you're in need, others will take care of you. And in the Old Testament, I'm going to show you this very quickly, it says about tithing. Now, this message is not on tithing. This message is about giving you an opportunity to step into a new expression of faith that will demonstrate tangibly to you God's favor for you. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. And if you do so, says the Lord, I will open up windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you will not have enough room to take it in. That's what he wants to do. Because he wants you to have so much, you can't store it all. You want to give it away. You become a benefactor. You become generous. You become a source instead of a drain. on society. And I'll pour it out so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Now here, right here, I put it in red. It's the only place in the Bible that you can find this. Try it. Put me to the test, saith the Lord. And then he says how it's going to manifest. Your crops will be abundant, for I'll guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And then all the nations will call you blessed because your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. I'd like to challenge you this month beginning to, I'm not going to give you any amount or number. I'm just going to say, do something more than what you have presently been doing on your giving and your generosity. Just increase it. I'm not going to talk about a number. I'm not going to talk about a percentage. I'm just saying, make a step up in faith starting this month and stick with it and see if God won't prove himself. Now don't run to the mailbox on Monday. That's just tomorrow, folks. Let the process work. Let the crops begin to grow. Let the see where the potential for increase comes. And let it come. Allow him to do it. And so I can divorce myself from any personal motive here. Let me say it this way. Of course you can give extra to the church. We got a parking lot to finish. And we've got some payments to make on the mortgage. But to divorce myself from all of that motive, go out in that hallway. There are a full bulletin board of wonderful local and overseas ministries that we support. And you can go there and you can let the Lord speak to you about which one of them or more that you might want to add a little extra into your offering on Sunday and designate that to the Joseph Project or Project Share or Miracle Mountain Ranch or Carlisle Cares or Sun Power with the Einsteins or His Hands Ministry or Capital Area Pregnancy Center or the books that the family that we support in Thailand. Or Camino Global, the teams that we support in Mexico. And if you want to try it that way, so that it doesn't necessarily come here to Tree of Life Church, be free to do that. I want no motive from your pastor in this. My motive is that I want to see you blessed more than you presently are. I want to see increase come into your life. And God's principle is generosity in this case. And sowing, we heard it this morning, you got to sow in order to reap. And so I call you to the blessing of the Lord that He has for you. Because the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Never fear loss when you're generous. Never. Never fear loss when you're generous. Just be a generous person and allow God to bless you. And then what I say to you is, as He does it, not if He does it, as He does it, be willing to come and give a testimony to His glory, because He wants to hear those words, because they lock in your faith. I want you to experience God's wisest, widest, and best, and most abundant life. And praiseful giving is the way Jesus pointed to open up one's life and doorways to expanding blessings in their lives. He said it in Luke 6, verse 38, "Give, and you will receive, and your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over and pouring into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." And whenever you look at the examples of the times where he had, and there were more than one, we remember the story about the loaves and the fishes. Well, that story happened on a number of cases throughout Scripture. And what you find is not only is the need supplied for far more than what was there looked like it was enough, But when it was done, they would go and retrieve. And the baskets would be full. After everything was met. I want you to be full basket people. People that have so much abundance in your life that you can be a blessing to everyone around you and the generations after you. Let's close it out with a prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the opportunity to talk about there are many hindrances or boundaries to greater blessing, but specifically to talk about this one in the area of finances so that we can see what you will do on our behalf. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, because I know fear combined with mathematics always looks like it's impossible. But I thank you, God, that your mathematics in the kingdom is not done with the calculator in our pocket. It's you're doing it, and you know how to multiply and bless. And so I pray, Father, for those few that maybe are feeling at this moment that this is something that they need to do, that, Lord, that you would, as your word says, prove yourself faithful unto them, show yourself strong unto them as they first step out in faith in their giving. I love you today. I bless you in Jesus' name. I thank you that you, after all these years, gave me a little freedom to speak to this issue because it affects so much more than our finances. And I pray that you would bless your people in an abundance place where the joy unspeakable and full of glory is upon them in their lives. Cause them to be people of peace. Cause them to be people that have peace and impart peace. And bless them as they go and they're coming and they're going and they're rising up and they're lying down. Let them be people that are seen by the world as a light on a hill. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming this morning.